Thank you. That's great. Your sister Judah, Willick, where'd my brother go? And of course, probably most important of all, Brishus, all of you. You know, when I get to come to camp, usually for a couple hours every year, like my brother said, we had a bump in the road a couple years back, but Baruch Hashem, I come not really to inspire, but to be inspired. And this year, thanks to Rav Judah, it was finally time to spend Shabbos in camp. So, Beretz Hashem, we'll be here. Family will join us tomorrow, and we'll be here for Shabbos, which is just awesome. And it's embarrassing to say that I've never spent the Shabbos in Camp Ask. And I could say all the right things about everything that you do, but you all know it, and you know it better than I know it. And it's just a tremendous, tremendous opportunity for me to spend time with you, and to learn from you, and to learn with you, and to spend time together. It's a very special opportunity, and I thank you for being here. And I know you work hard during the week, so if you fall asleep, it's okay also. Everyone needs to rest. I want to speak about something that I know you hear a lot about. And if anything, it's maybe a parish on things that I hear all the time from Rav Judah. It's something that I think at all stages of life people are thinking about. And I want to try to connect it to the parsha. And it's not an easy parsha to talk about Bichlal. All these parshas, but Midbar. Sefer Bamidbar, from beginning to end, it's wild. Not a nice term to describe the Torah by, but it's wild. What's happening in Chumash Bamidbar? To try to open up this week's parsha and to look at such a delicate parsha, where Korach, who's one of the elders of the Jewish people, picture a big Rosh Yeshiva, a chashuv person of stature, a Talmud Chacham, a tzaddik, and all of a sudden there's this crazy machlokas brewing that's on the verge of tearing Klal Yisrael apart. It's a very, very delicate parsha, and we should feel very anxious. Rightfully so, we should feel extremely anxious about poking our head into this parsha Bichlal. And one of the great machlokasim that nearly tore Klal Yisrael apart in the 18th century was a famous machlokas between Rav Yonasan Eibschitz and Rav Yaakov Emden. Rav Yonasan Eibschitz was writing amulets, and Rav Yaakov Emden was very nervous that perhaps he was involved in all sorts of false messianic movements. It was a big machlokas that shook Klal Yisrael. Again, a complex machlokas that we're not going to poke our head into for a minute now. Rav Yonasan Eibschitz was walking down the street one time, and he heard some people talking about the machlokas. This was before you could go online and look at pictures of Gedolim. This is before you had, Rebbe cards. Right? So a Gadol could walk down the street, you don't even know, you could be talking about it, you don't even realize that that's it. Rav Yonasan Eibschitz is walking down the street, and here's some chaver on the corner saying, "Oh, Rav Eibschitz, Rav Yaakov Emden," right? People poking their head into the machlokas. So Rav Yonasan Eibschitz comes over, and he says, I'm just curious. I have a question for you. Just popped in. They didn't even know who they were talking to. He says, I have a question about the Haggadah. Can I ask a question on the Haggadah? You looked like a distinguished rabbi. You want to ask us? Sure. So he said, I just the Haggadah ends on Chag Gadya. Chag Gadya is a beautiful tefillah written with all sorts of Kabbalistic intent. It's not a simple song. It's not a silly poem to end the night. It's very deep Chag Gadya. So Rav Yonasan Eibschitz says, let me just ask you simple. He says, let's go through the Chag Gadya together. Right. A fellow goes out, he buys a goat. Very nice. A cat comes along, a horrible cat comes along and attacks the goat, kills the goat. So the cat is unjust. So they say, yeah, of course, the cat is unjust. So when the dog comes along, and the dog comes to the defense of the goat, so the dog is doing a good thing. He's seeking justice. He's not going to let the cat get away with it. So the dog did a good thing, right? So the chaver is like, yeah, the dog did a good thing. So when the stick came and it struck the dog, so that was a bad thing. And everyone's thinking, the stick struck the dog, yeah, that's a bad thing. Right? So when the fire came along and burnt up the stick, and you start going through the steps of the Chag Gadya. The cat was wrong, the dog was right. The stick was wrong, the fire was right. Right? The water that put out the fire was wrong, and the ox that drank the water was right. You follow the steps, all of a sudden, The Shochet was wrong, the Malach HaMavis was right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was wrong. So they're sitting there, they're scratching their heads. He says, maybe you can explain this to me? If you follow the steps, if you follow the logical pattern, it comes out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not right for killing the Malach HaMavis, because the Malach HaMavis was on the side of those who were defending the goat. So they're sitting there, they don't know what to answer. So Rav Yonasan Eifshitz said to them, Rav Yonasan Eifshitz said, the calculation is off. Because the dog that got involved, when the cat and the goat had a machlokas, the dog had no business poking his head into that machlokas. The dog shouldn't have gotten involved in that machlokas. It wasn't the dog's business, and he walked away. And they understood who they were talking to. They understood it was Rav Yonasan Eifshitz they were speaking to, and they didn't have any business poking their head into the machlokas between Rav Yonasan Eifshitz and Rav Yaakov Emden. A different version of the story says that a couple of kids, and everyone's entitled to an opinion, right? We're Jews. So a couple of kids were talking about the machlokas. So Yonasan Eifetz was very, very witty. He came over and he said, you know, the goat's a chashuv guy. The goat has a long beard. You know, the goat's, it must be a very chashuv guy. The cat at least has a mustache, right? The dog, clean-shaven dog, you know, right? Saying to these little kids, this is out of your league. This is not your business. And that's how we should feel when we open up Parshas Korach, and the greatest people having a very delicate machlokas, and all of a sudden we want to take sides. We want to say, oh yeah, I would have been on Moshe's side, I would have been... I saw Uri of Strelitz says that the machlokas between Moshe and Korach, not that I have any understanding of what this means, that the machlokas between Moshe and Korach is the same machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, but how to arrange the Parshas of Tefillin. You want to poke your head into that? You want to get involved with that? So we open up such a delicate Parsha, and we have to try, because it's Torah, and the Torah demands that we study the Torah, and the Torah warns us not to be like Korach v'Adaso. The Torah says, "Lo yiyek Korach v'Adaso." We have to learn from this, but we have to approach it with tremendous trepidation. We have to be very nervous to get involved in this machlokas, but we have to learn from it. And again, we have to know, no matter what we're going to take away from it, that had we been there, it wouldn't have been so obvious to us who was right. Yismach Moshe, Moshe Teitelbaum said once to his grandson, he said, I remember from a previous Gilgal, from a previous time that my neshama walked this earth, I remember being present by the machlokas of Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. So his grandson the Yitav Lev, said to him, oh, so I imagine you obviously stood by Moshe's side. So he said, no, I remain neutral in the machlokas. So he said, how did you not stand by Moshe's side? What was the question? So his grandfather, Yismach Moshe, said to him, if you don't think that it was a question, then you have no idea who Korach was. You have no appreciation who Korach was. Read what the Zohar says about Korach. Read what the Arizal says about Korach. Tzadik Katamar Yifrach. The last three letters. Tzadik Katamar Yifrach. The last three letters spell Korach. A tzadik was going to blossom one day. He was premature. He was ahead of his time. But he was a big tzadik. He wasn't a lightweight, someone who we could just kick around in the big parsha to get nice musar varts for our own life. So we have to approach the parsha with tremendous trepidation. And at the same time, it's the Torah. And the Torah is not here to speak Lashon Hara. The Torah is coming to teach us something. And therefore, I want to go very, very pashut to really, what was the essential mistake of Korach? You know, cutting out all of the fancy mahalchim and his deep kavanos, and there's a lot there. Right? And chipping away at all the secondary vertlach that we could say about it. What was the main problem of Korach? Why does the Torah tell us, Lo yiyek Korach v'chadasa? What was the mekachara that Korach took for himself, that ruined himself? And I think the answer is very partial. The main problem of Korach, the main tragedy of Korach, and again, it's not simple. We're going to oversimplify it. But we want to oversimplify it so we can bring it down to our level and walk away with something. The main problem of Korach was that Korach wanted to be something that he wasn't. Korach wanted to be something that he wasn't. He wanted a position that wasn't being offered to him. He wanted to live the life of someone else. And that became such a divisive thing amongst Klal Yisrael, such a destructive thing, that it nearly tore Klal Yisrael apart. When a Jew looks at someone else and says, I want to be that, instead of looking at myself and saying, who am I? What did the Kodesh Baruch Hu put inside of me? How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu program me to exist? That doesn't mean we don't look at others to learn from them. But if, God forbid, we get so busy, spend our whole lives checking out others, looking at what everyone else is up to, and trying to figure out, you know, maybe I should be like that, or maybe I should be like that, and never stopping to have that conversation with yourself, then, God forbid, we fall into this trap, this Isra D'Araisa of Lo Yiyek Korach Lecha Adasa. Take a look at source number one. Gemara in Sota tells us, Kol Enosein Eino V'Masha Eino Sholo, When a person puts his eye, a lot of themes of eyes. I'm sure you'll hear some shiurim about it. The month of Tammuz and Av. It's a time of correcting the eyes. You look through these parshios. There's a lot of ramazim. A lot of things have to do with the Meraglim, the way they saw Eretz Yisrael. It's a time where we're trying to fix our perspective, which is part of the reason we have to be so careful when we look at these parshios, that we don't, God forbid, judge them superficially and oversimplify. But says the Gemara in Sota, a person puts his or her eye on something that's not his or hers. Mashemavakesh einosala. You want over there, you're not going to get it. The Gemara gives you a guarantee. You will not get it. And that what you do have, you're also not going to have. You've given it away. And a person is left, unfortunately, at the end of the day with nothing. Pasuk says in Mishlei, Urekev atzamos kina, that the thing that causes the bones to rot is jealousy. Rekem atzamos, etzem, the essence of a person rots when we become jealous in an unhealthy way. There is a jealousy that has a place in Torah, in Yiddishkeit. But when a person spends time looking at others, we can literally go out of our minds. One of the tragic psukim in the Tochacha, in source number 2, as explained by the Skolli Rebbe, the Pashup Shad is the horrible words of the Tochacha in Parshas Kisavo, that there's going to be a Holocaust, Rachmana Litzlan, and there's going to be such frightful images, even those of us who aren't there, to hear a story about it, or to see a picture of it. It should send the shiver down your spine. And the things that people who actually were there, that they saw, that they were forced to see, images. My wife's grandmother passed away about a week and a half ago. She was 90 years old. She had worked in a bullet factory in Auschwitz. My Baruch Hashem, she went on to see a lot of nachas in her life. A family of Baruch Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all from. She saw a lot of bracha in her life, and she focused on that. But she also saw horrible and terrifying things in her life. And the Torah warns us, you can have such a reality that you're going to see things that are so frightening that you literally go insane from the things that you see. That's what the Torah, God forbid, is threatening us in the Tochacha. V'ayisa, source number 2, Meshuga mimare einecha shertira. Meshuga, you'll go crazy from the things that you'll see. The Skolli Rebbe says, a person who Baruch Hashem didn't have to see those things, and hopefully none of us will ever have to see such horrible things. The world should never see such things again. But there's another element of Tochacha, there's another element of Klala in this pasuk, that a person could go crazy, mimare einecha, by always looking around. Looking what kind of car this person drives, looking who this person, well, this person's dating this type of person, maybe I should date that type of person. This person's looking for this type of profession, maybe I should have that type of profession. This person's learning this type of sefer, maybe that's the right sefer to be learning. This is how fast they shuckle during Shmona Esrei, this is how slow they shuckle during Shmona Esrei. Right, tzitzis out, tzitzis in. So you're looking around, and at the end of the day, if you take a step back, you catch your breath, v'ayisa meshugam amari necha shertira. You've made yourself so crazy. You've moved so far away from all the beautiful gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. For what? You traded them for what? For something that the Gemara in Sota told us in the first source you're never going to get anyways. So why do we do it to ourselves? But it's such a relevant topic in the world today. I was talking to one of my good friends who's here for the summer. I was asking him about a week and a half ago. I said, what should I speak? I don't know what to speak about. I had so many different ideas now what to speak about. I think about it all year. What should I talk about? I have a few minutes to spend with such a special chevra. What message should I share? And I had a whole different idea for this summer. And he said, you know, you should speak about this. Because for many of you, how many people are just back from Eretz Yisrael? Okay, a good portion. So this person said to me, he said, those first few months back from Eretz Yisrael are some of the most confusing months of your life. And I think it's a true statement. Trying to figure out, you know, absorbing all the messages, all the things that I've learned over the last year or a year and a half or 2 years, right? and trying to fit it back into my family, and trying to fit it back into my home environment, and new friends and old friends, and trying to figure out how to make sense of a very complicated world. And it's a very overwhelming thing. When I spend my afternoons as a mashkiach in YU, I find that most of my conversations are about this in one form or another. And the young women I speak to also, it's about this. Just trying to figure out, where do I fit in? Where do I belong? What's my thing? How do I find that sense of self? And it's a hard thing that human beings grapple. I say human beings because I know the Kollel is learning. My brother I know is teaching in the morning. They're learning from Rav Kook. Rav Kook's Oros HaTshuva. So as if that wasn't lofty enough. Buddy, how are you? Good to see you. As if Rav Kook As if a cook's not high enough. I have a little kuntres at home called Oros Shlomo. Oros Shlomo is Rav Shlomo Kaulbach's teachings on Oros Hatshuva. So that's like, that's really. So Shlomo writes there, Rav Kook talks about what's tshuva. Tshuva is return to being yourself. Return to being normal. Return to being natural. Return to closing your eyes and just looking inward and not always looking around. Rav Shimshon Pinkus writes in his volume on Sukkos, on page 164. He says, you know why we cover our eyes when we say Shema? Rav Pinkus says, because Kabbalah's Omal HaShemayim, if you want to accept what it means to be a Jew, you have to cover your eyes and stop looking around. You have to turn inward a little bit. And you have to get in touch with yourself and say, what does Hashem want from me? So Rav Kook talks a lot about that. That's what tshuva is. Tshuva is a return to who am I supposed to be. So Rav Shlomo, in his very Rav Shlomo-dik style, says, you know, you look at the sun. The sun is normal. The sun doesn't have a problem being the sun. The sun's very comfortable being the sun. Right? The moon, yes, you learned the Midrashim at the beginning of time. The moon had a whole achlokas with the sun. But the moon eventually settled. The moon's happy to be the moon. And Rav Shlomo says, a banana is happy to be a banana. And an apple doesn't have, you know, an apple doesn't have a midlife crisis. Oh my gosh, I'm only an apple. I should be an orange by now. An apple's happy to be an apple. He said, Rav Shlomo said, only human beings have this thing where like my natural assumption is that what I am is not what I'm supposed to be. There must be something else. Right? The kolchos, or the deficiencies, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me, my strengths and my weaknesses, no, my strengths, there must be other strengths that are more important, and my weaknesses, you know, that doesn't fit in. And I spent my whole life running around, looking around, trying to figure out what else I could be. And Shlomo says, be like a banana. Be like a banana. Right? A little muster from a banana. A banana's comfortable being a banana. A Jew has to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed him or her exactly the way that he's supposed to be. The tragedy of Korach is that Korach said, I want someone else as a voter. I want to be someone else. He didn't appreciate that he already had been selected for a very elite group of Jews. And he looked around and he said, I want to be someone else. And he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ki kol ha'eda kulam kadoshim. Why do you think you're better? Why should you be given this position of prominence? Nepotism, you give Aaron, you take care of it for yourself. Elite Zafan, he's from a younger brother. There's a whole cheshbon why he feels he's been ripped off. Why he feels that the avodah has been taken away from him. You think you're closer to Hashem? You think you're a better Jew than me? Every Jew's kadosh. When Mr. Zalman Meltzer was once sitting with a student, all of a sudden the student looks out the window and he says, Rebbe, the Brisker Rav is coming. Looks like the Brisker Rav is coming down the street. So Mr. Zalman jumps out of his chair. Hey, he puts on a long coat, he puts on his hat. Right, Shabbos Lavush. And he walks outside, he goes out to greet the Brisker Rav. And coming down the street is a Jew who looks just like the Brisker Rav. Not the Brisker Rav. So Mr. Zalman greets him warmly, Shalom Aleichem, Rav Yid, and he brings him in. And he puts out a shulchan shalmalachim for him, you know, a big spot. This guy's like, this is, you know, Rosh Hashiva, Mr. Zalman's inviting me into his home, it's such a kavod. He's taking care of him, and he's sitting, and he's schmoozing with him, and he's so interested in him. Okay, and afterwards he walks out. So the Talmud's all in Paris. He says, Rebbe, I'm so sorry. I thought it was the Brisker Rav. It looked just like the Brisker Rav. So Rav Salman says, you don't have to apologize. I said, Rebbe, but you went out. You greeted him warmly. Because one day, you have to invite him in. You have to be mechabed him. You have to sit with him. And you put out a whole spread for him. And Rav Salman said, so simply, he said, do you think that this regular Jew is any less significant than the Brisker Rav? Do you think I said, because it's not the Brisker Rav, so now it's not worth it? This is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to spend time with the Yid. Right? So it's not the Brisker Rav. Is he any less holy? That's what Korach says. Ki kol ha'eda kulam kadosh. You think you're better, Moshe Rabbeinu? You think Aaron's better? You're more kadosh. You're more beloved in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has enough love, an equal amount of love for every single Jew. And therefore Korach, who's looking for love, thinks, I need to take someone else's avodah. I need to have that avodah to feel that I'm loved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves every single Jew. That's a metzius. It's a fact. What's the source? How do I know? How do I know? That's what the Sfarim say. What's the worst case scenario? Let's say we're wrong. Yeah? Let's say we're wrong. I always tell this to my guys in YU. Let's say we bet on this approach that Hashem really loves every Jew. You know? Let's assume it's not apologetics. Let's assume the tzaddikim know what they're talking about. Right? So we can put together a list of quotes in Baal Shem Tov and the Berditchever and all the tzaddikim. Right? We can put together a whole list and all say Hashem loves you as much as any other Jew. Yeah? Let's say we're wrong. So let's think about the conversation we'll have to have with Hashem. Hashem, I thought you loved me more than you did. Imagine if you err in the other direction. Imagine walking around their whole life thinking, no, Hashem likes some Jews more than me. You get to the Olam Ha'emes and Hashem says, Do you really think I like someone else more than you? You don't think I loved you? You don't think I loved you as much as any of my other children? That's a much more uncomfortable conversation. I'd rather err on the side of thinking that Hashem loves me that much. Hashem loves every single Jew equally. Who does Hashem love more? Hashem loves Reb Chaim Kanievsky more? Or Hashem loves some Jew, some young guy in Brooklyn, standing on a street corner smoking a cigarette who's been bouncing around like 15 different yeshivas in the last year and a half? Who does Hashem love more? What do we really believe? Who do we believe Hashem loves more? Reb Chaim Kanievsky, who literally makes siyumim in his sleep. You heard this, Maisa? What was it, last summer or 2 summers ago? Reb Chaim Kanievsky wakes up with the beginning of Chodesh Av. Reb Chaim Kanievsky wakes up from a nap. He turns to his grandson, Reb Gedalia Honigsberg, says, bring me a cup of wine. It's Av, we don't drink wine in Av unless you're making a siyum. So he says, my grandfather, he has a schedule, a very precise schedule. He's going to make a siyum on your vamis in 5 days from now. Maybe finished early. Just woke up from a nap. So he says to his grandfather, what's going on here? So he says, I was just messiahing Maseches Brachos in my sleep. I want to make a seal. So his grandson says to him, if you don't mind me asking, how long did it take you, was this like just this one nap, or like this is a seder that you have, a regular part of your schedule? I saw a book in the YU library right at the end of the summer called Hachovos, The Obligations. It goes through Chaim Kanievsky's daily schedule. Right, just to make us feel better, right? So you read through Hachovos, yeah? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky says to his grandson, you're asking too many questions. Just give me a cup of wine, you're asking too many questions. So who does Hashem love more? Reb Chaim Kanievsky makes siyum in his sleep, who finishes mesechtas in his sleep. Halavai, we should finish mesechtas brachos with our eyes open, right? Although the truth is, some people finish, you go to Daf Yomi every morning, you fall asleep. You finish all shas in your sleep. It's also gevaldik. Yeah? So who does Hashem love more? Who does Hashem love more? No, it's an uncomfortable question. But the truth is, the real answer is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves every single Jew equally. Because Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem, and every Jew is a ben yachid by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the Ger Rebbe, when the Beis Yisrael came to Menachem Avol, Rav Avram Kahaneman, the son of the Panovich Rav, the only son of the Panovich Rav, he said to him, I know you're sitting Shiva as a ben yachid, but you should just know that every one of us, every person in Klai Yisrael, felt like a ben yachid by your father. The Panovich Rav's love of Jews, what he was willing to do for any Jew, we all feel your loss. We all feel like a ben yachid who lost a father. Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. Hashem loves every child like any parent does. Loves every child equally. It's funny, just this week I was putting my daughter to bed, Zahava. She'll be here for Shabbos. You can tell her you like the story, and then she's like, Daddy, why'd you tell the story? You know I don't like when you tell stories. Okay. Tell stories about your kids. So I'm putting Zahava to bed, reading a book in bed. I don't know where this came from. And I really hadn't even prepared this shiur yet. But I guess it was a sign that this is the topic. So she says to me, Daddy, she gets like these big eyes, says, Daddy, who's your favorite? Who's your favorite? So I says, Zahava, I'm going to tell you the truth. I say, I have to promise, you can't tell them. So now she's like really excited. Right? She's like all excited. She's like, really? I said, I'll tell you, but you can't tell anyone. You really can't tell your siblings. I said, my favorite is Meira. So she's like, what? They're joking. I said, parents don't... Right, I have to like put aside a large sum of money for therapy after that joke. I said to Zahava, you're all my favorite. Gabrielle is my favorite, Zahava is my favorite, Meir is my favorite, Yaakov is my favorite. You're all my favorite. Right? It's such an absurd question. Any parent understands that it's a ridiculous question. Who's my favorite? You're all my favorite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at every single person in Klal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're all my favorite. Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. I always think of a story driving up here. There's a shliach of the Lubavitch Rebbe. His yard says this Shabbos. Lubavitch Rebbe's shliach in Port Washington, New York. Rishon Paltiel. So he's driving one time, he's coming up to the country, up to the mountains, pulls into a gas station, and there's this dude there, this hippie looking kind of guy, long hair, ponytail, an earring. And he sees, clearly a Chabad Shliach looking type. And he starts filling up his car, and he says, Rabbi, I'm Jewish. He says, wow, that's great. I just so happen to have a pair of tefillin in the back of my car. Would you like to, maybe you put on this morning already? Clearly not. Right, maybe you put on. He says, Rabbi, I haven't worn tefillin since my bar mitzvah. I would love to. So he's standing there, he's pumping gas with one hand, he's putting tefillin on with the other hand. Right? He's got his long ponytail, he's giving a little yarmulke. All of a sudden, a group of, you know, very frum Jews pull it. And they're looking at the scene, pumping gas, got the tefillin. Well, where do you draw the line already? I'm saying, it has to be a tzura, going to a base measure, something with a long ponytail, and the Grateful Dead t-shirt, and the ripped jeans, like what? So that they're clearly not happy with him. Like, this is not, it's not covered for the tefillin. So he comes over to these Jews, and he says, do you know who this young man is? This young man is an einikel of the Divrei Chaim of Tzanz, the Tzanz Aruf. An einikel of Divrei Chaim. This, the ponytail is the Divrei Chaim. Yeah, he's an einikel of the Divrei Chaim. Oh, okay, sorry. Go, put tefillin on him. Anyways, they finish their business, they're about to pull away, and this Rosh Hashanah Paltiel goes back over, as they're about to pull out, knocks on the window. And they roll down the window again, and he says to them, honestly, I have no idea who this boy is, I have no idea if he's an einikel of the Tzanz Aruf. But I can tell you for sure, he's an einikel of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sar, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. That's also yichus. That's also chashuv. Kodesh Baruch Hu still has a place, kiviyachol, in his heart for such a Jew. Yeah. Hashem has enough room for every single Jew. Hashem has enough love for every single Jew in the world. Take a look at source number 3. Such a beautiful berdichim. Happens to be, for some strange reason, many of the sources are from Parshas Re'e. This is a sefer called Likutei Yehoshua. It's not quoted in the Kedushas Levi. In the Likutei Yehoshua, Yehoshua Scheinfeld, he quotes a beautiful insight from the Berditchever, from the Levi Yitzchak Berditchever. Banim atem la'Hashem Elokeichem. He says, I heard from the Berditchever the following gevar. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, it darshens the pasuk. Look at the third line. Be'inyan kiddush achodesh. The Gemara is on Chaf Dal and Chaf Hei and Aleph. Meseches Rosh Hashanah. Gimel pamim never b'Torah osam. The word osam appears in 3 places in the Torah, and it's spelled without a vav. So how would you read it had I not given you nekudos? You might have said, atem. The Gemara says, yes, darshan it that way. Al tikri, where it's bolded, osam, ela atem. Don't read it osam, read it atem. Atem, read it atem. What does that mean? You're coming to be Makadish the Chodesh, you're looking up, you think you see a new moon, and then it turns out something went wrong. By accident, you messed up. Let's say on purpose you decide, I want to manipulate the calendar. On purpose they declared Rosh Chodesh, erroneously. Or let's say they're misled. Says the Gemara, Atem afilu shogigin, Atem afilu mezidin, Atem afilu mutan. Whether it's shogig, whether it's mezid, whether you're misled, false witnesses come. They mislead the base, and the base says, Rosh Chodesh, and they find out it's a lie. It's Rosh Chodesh, Atem. Whatever you do is good. Whatever you do is good. The pasuk really says osam, we darshan it atem. Atem afilu shogeg, afilu mezid, afilu, if you're misled, mutad. So 1 year before Rosh Hashanah, 1 year before the tekios on Rosh Hashanah, Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchever gets out of his seat, and he says, Rabbono Shel Olam, when the Torah says osam, you come up with a fancy jirash, atem. Atem afilu shogeg, mezid, mutad. What about when the Torah actually says atem? What about the Torah actually says atem? You don't have to make a drasha. Banim atem la'Hashem elokeichem. You're the children of Hashem. Can we not say, Ribbono Shel Olam, atem afilu shogin, atem afilu mezidin, atem afilu mutahin, that no matter how much a Jew messes up, Ribbono Shel Olam, you can find a place to still love them, to love them as much as Reb Chaim Kanievsky makes siyum in his sleep? And the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does have. I learned recently the Igaras HaShemad from the Rambam. It is so beautiful. If you want to hear the Rambam, as my brother was saying, you know, waxing poetic, you want to hear the Rambam as a Hasidus Rebbe, you want to hear the Rambam as a Mashpia on Klal Yisrael, not just recording halacha, not just recording great, middle age philosophy in the Morin of Buchen, you want to hear the Rambam as an Oiv Yisrael Shein Kamo, read the Igaras HaShemad. Listen to how he talks to these Jews, who when there's so much pressure, are living a double life. Right, they're being pressured to convert to other religions. And they're being told that if you even pretend to convert to another religion, Hashem is done with you. And the Rambam's mechazik them. Hashem loves you. Hashem believes in you. Hashem never gives up on you. That's how we have to look at Jews. So what's the problem with Korach? Korach thinks that I have to earn Hashem's love. That if I'm not given the most chashuv position, if I'm not Aaron HaKohen, if I'm not Moshe, if I can't climb the upper echelons of what it means to serve Hashem, if my avoda is not his avoda, then on the love scale, I don't register as high. Then I register as a second class citizen. I said the Lubavitcher Rebbe's yard sale when Rebbe Yisrael Meir Lau, Chief Rabbi Lau, when he came as a young man, he came to Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he said to Lubavitcher Rebbe, he told Lubavitcher Rebbe before he was Chief Rabbi, he says, you know, I'm involved. He thought the Rebbe would be so excited. He said, I'm involved in Kiruv Rechokim. I'm involved in Kiruv Rechokim. I'm bringing those Jews who are far away back to Hashem. They should be close to Hashem. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe stopped him and said, Kiruv Rechokim? Who's to say who's Rachok and who's Karov? Who's to say? Who's to say you think you're closer to Hashem? Yeah, you do more mitzvot, that's true. But who's to say that you're objectively closer to Hashem? Now, of course, we have to be careful with this idea. Because we have to do whatever it is that we can do. But what happens when I start to think that I don't have... No, there's nothing I can do that's good enough. I need to be Moshe, I need to be Aaron. I need to switch places, I need to be someone else. Then God forbid I create the greatest machlokas that Klai shall ever face. Because I want to be something that I'm not. So Asemis writes in this week's Parsha, source number 4. So Asemis says, he quotes, in the second line, he quotes from his grandfather, the Chidush HaRim, the first Ger Rebbe, explaining the Mishnah, Im Ein Ani Li Mili. Im Ein Ani Li Mili. So we normally think it means you have to take some responsibility. It's not just some responsibility. Listen to how the Chidush HaRim explained it. Im Ein Ani Li Mili. If I'm not going to be me, who's going to be me? So you'll say, what does that mean? Someone will fill in. Someone bigger, someone greater, someone more capable will fill in the void that I leave. Says the Sfasemis in the name of the Chidush HaRim. Ki kol adam nivra latakin davar miyucha. Every person has her, his or her thing. And guess what? She'ein acher yachol latakin. No one else in the history of the world, in the history of the Jewish people, can fill in for you. No one can fill in for you. Every person in this room has insights in Torah that the greatest gedolim can't think of. That it's either you or it's no one. It's you or it's no one. It's lost forever. We can't get into it now. The Heichal Bracha, the Kamarna Rebbes, is a wild thing. Again, you have to explain such a thing. But just so you should hear such an idea. The Rebbe of Kamarna in the Heichal Bracha says that when Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Torahs, again, it's theologically complex. When Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Sifrei Torah to give to the Shvatim at the end of his life, he says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote a different Torah for each Shevet according to Shorash Nishmasa. According to the Shorash of the Neshama of that Shevet. Now again, that's a very complicated statement. But there is such a notion. You have your own Torah. You have your own Chelek in Torah. There are insights in Torah that you have that no one else can do. There are ways that you're going to perform Chesed this summer. There's an element of Avas Yisrael that you're going to feel. And you say, what do you mean? We're all in this together. Everyone's doing. We're all... There are things that you can accomplish that no one else in the world can accomplish. Rav Shimon Shkaf, I once read, Rav Shimon Shkaf, so great. Rav Shimon Shkaf was such an original thinker, right? In Lomdus, such a brilliant Rosh Hashiva, redefining certain concepts in the way that Gemara is learned. Rav Shimon Shkaf didn't like lined paper. You know why? He felt it boxed him in too much. If you needed a piece of paper, you gave him a lined piece of paper. He said, do you have just like a plain piece of paper? I don't want to be boxed in. I want you to tell me where to write on the paper. Where I want to write on the paper. To think independently. To be mataki in the thing that I'm here to be mataki. V'chein b'chol zman v'zman miyuchad tikun acher. Concludes the Chidush HaRim. The same thing is true for every moment in time. This Thursday night never was and never will be again. And you decide right now what you want to make of it. This summer is happening right now and will never happen again. There'll be Camp Ask Again Mirtz Hashem next year. There was last year. But the way that it's happening now with these people, exactly in this surah, will never happen again. And there's something unique that Hashem is giving us the opportunity to achieve in this very moment, right here, right now. And therefore we have to embrace our individuality, we have to embrace that thing that defines us with such passion, with such fervor, to believe that Korach, there's nothing to gain by being Moshe Rabbeinu. You will not get anything more for yourself. You will not achieve anything more for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The best thing you could possibly do for yourself, for Klal Yisrael, for all of the world, is to just be yourself. And when you do that by MS, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's all good by me. It's all equal. Says the B'nai Yisasser, in his Agra de Pirkan, source number 5. After it goes through the Leviyim, you have Gershon, you have Kahas, you have Merari. Each one has a different avodah. They're all involved in holy work, but each one does their own thing. Says the pasuk, when it's all said and done, after it talks about each one, each child of this Beis Levi differently, it puts them all back together. Kol ha'pakudim asher pakad Moshe v'Aaron nesiya Yisrael es ha'levim. Puts them all back together, the Levim. What do you mean the Levim? There's Gershon, there's Kohath, there's Merari, different parts of the Mishkan. Says the Medrash, what's it teaching us? Where it's bolded in source number 5, Chazer v'cholam yachad lahagit shekulam shekulam lefnei ha'makom b'chibah. Comes to teach us that they're mamish all equal by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're all equal. They're so different. And they're all exactly the same by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because they were all proud to do what was asked of them. And they did it to bring Kavod Shemayim. And they didn't feel threatened by the fact that they're just getting through the pasuk, and their friends have already been through the parsha 16 times. And you're just starting. And I'm just finishing my first Masechta, and my friend's finishing Shas. And I'm just getting connected in a certain way to my Yiddishkeit, and I see other people who are so successful in their Yiddishkeit, I'll never be that. And I become despondent, I become depressed. And I feel like I don't matter to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm not a key player in Klal Yisrael's story. Says the Bnei Yisrael, says the Agad, the Pirka. Look what he writes. Even though, yes, there were those like Kohath who carried the Aron, and Gershon and Merari had lesser avoda. But he says so beautifully where it's bolded. Im kol zeh, kasher yasu b'nei Merari avoda muteles aleihem. When Merari, their name even has a tinge of bitterness to it. When Merari embraced his avoda, chashiv lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu kavodas b'nei Kohath. Hashem said, to me, that's as chashiv as carrying the Aron. That's as important to me as carrying on. Nilman bizeshali kane adam es chaveiro afilu ba'avoda. Not to be jealous of another person in their avoda. Raka avoda masura lo me'es Hashem yisparach ba yistapik. Just do what's being asked of you. Be proud to do the thing that's asked of you. Don't feel bad. Now you go to yeshiva, in particular, I'm speaking to the male side of the room. Right? A certain pressure to master shas, to be a Talmud Chacham. To be the next Reb Chaim Brisker. No one's ever going to be the next Reb Chaim Brisker. No matter how smart you are in learning, no one's going to be the next Reb Chaim Brisker. It's funny, when Reb Davidol came in the other week, we were by my parents for Shabbos, and Shabbos afternoon, we were sitting around the living room, and I was down on the floor, I think I had Meira, it was Yaakov, I had one of my kids on my back, and I was giving like a horsey ride around the room. So I said to my brother, I said, I'm almost like Reb Chaim Brisker. Reb Chaim Brisker, the Rav, Reb Salvechik used to say, Reb Chaim Brisker was such a kibitzer. Reb Chaim Brisker used to joke around, Reb Chaim Brisker would get down on the floor, can you imagine going for a piggyback ride, Reb Chaim Brisker? Right? We'd be scared to look him in the eye. He got down, right? He would say, giddy up, and the kids would jump on his back. He said, Reb Chaim one time, the Rav said one time, Reb Chaim walked outside, he sees a kid tied to a tree crying. Chaim Brisker. So he goes, what's wrong? So he said they're playing this game, and they decided that this kid's the horse, right? But they don't want the horse to run away, so they tied the kid to a tree. So Chaim Brisker said, you don't have to be there. I'll be the horse for a little bit. He untied the kid, he put him on his back, he got down on the ground, he's crawling around, Chaim Brisker. But so I read once where Salvechik said, this to me is unfathomable, I can't even begin to imagine what this means. The Reb Chaim in yeshiva, used to, in the Vlashan yeshiva, he used to box with the guys. And boxing with Reb Chaim Brisker. I just throw some punches with Reb Chaim Brisker. Right? Totally not imaginable. So I was down on the ground and I was giving a horse ride. I said, oh, no. That's as close as I'm going to get to being Reb Chaim Brisker. Giving little kids, you know, piggyback rides. That's the closest I'm going to get in my life to Reb Chaim Brisker. And that's okay. And I don't have to feel bad about that. And I should try to learn Chiddush Reb Chaim Al Rambam. And to try to learn from Reb Chaim Brisker. But not to ever feel that Hashem made me a B'dieved Jew. That my place in this world is not chashiv, is not important. And yes, we have an acharis mechabi the gedolim, like Reb Chaim Brisker. But to be able to walk around proudly, knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so proud of me, whatever my avoda might be. Tzfasemes had chassidim, 1904, 1905, the Russo-Japanese War. Tzfasemes had, Ger chassidim were drafted into the war. And they found themselves sukkahs time, literally in the trenches in the middle of a war. And they were sitting there in the foxhole, and they're trying to figure out how we can make a sukkah. They're taking some branches, they're putting some branches literally over like their hideouts in the ground, in between, you know, firing shots. And somehow they were able to, they sent a letter at some point to the Sfas Emesis telling them what this was like. They said, Rebbe, this was sukkahs by us. You know, in between bullets whizzing past our head, we're sitting in a foxhole, we're putting up a couple little twigs to build ourselves a sukkah. And Sfas Emesis, when he got that letter, He said, I've never been prouder of my chassidim. I'm so jealous of such a soul. To be thinking in such a place, how in some way to figure out how to make a sukkah in such a place, in a trench, in the ground, in the middle of a war. So Hashem has said, the pasuk in the Tzavim which says, Haidosi bachem, hayom es ha-shamayim ves ha-aretz. So Hashem has said, Haidosi, which is also a testimony. I call to testify heaven and earth. So Hashem has said, Haidosi is also a lashon of an adi. Adi means an ornamentation, jewelry. He says, with this sukkah, you're the decorations. You mamash, you decorate the heavens with such a mitzvah. And you're thinking, you're ready to be yourself sabrach, and this is sukkahs. This is avodas Hashem. And so Hashem says, it's so beautiful. You're doing the best you can. You're serving Hashem from your place, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is smiling down upon you and saying, what an unbelievable thing that you're accomplishing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a smart businessman. Hashem knows a thing or two about running the show. And any smart business person knows they have to diversify your portfolio. Someone once came to the Chavetz Chaim, it's late, I'm not going to read it inside, in source number 6, you'll take a look. Someone came to the Chavetz Chaim, a portion of the Menchi said, came to the Chavetz Chaim, this is in the Chavetz Chaim, Al Torah and Parshas Re'eh, and says to the Chavetz Chaim, you know, why do we need Chassidim, Misnagdim, and amongst the Chassidim, there's so many types. Some Chassidim are more into the davening, some are more into the learning, some are more into this and into that, the singing, the dancing, the this, and so the Chavetz Chaim said, I'm happy to answer, but before we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you know, all these interests that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has down below, and why Hashem needs so many different types of Jews. Let's just talk about the Tsar. Let's talk about the Russian Tsar. Let's talk about his army. Why does he have foot soldiers? And he has planes. And he has a navy. And he has an army. And he has an air force. Right? Why do you have all sorts of different special ops? And why do you need all these different? Why do you need all these different things? Because when you're fighting a war, we know that if a person puts all of his people on one front, if a person doesn't know how to diversify, right, it's a weakness. We're fighting a war. Klal Yisrael is fighting a war. It's Tav Shin Ayin Vav. We've been fighting a war for a long time. Milchemes HaYetzer. You want to call it the nations of the world. We're not overly fond of us. Whatever you want the battlefront to be. But we're fighting a battle. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, we need different types of soldiers. I need soldiers of Tefillah. I need soldiers of Torah. I need soldiers of Chesed. I need soldiers with different types of Torah, different types of Tefillah, different types of Chesed. I need different types of soldiers in order to win the war, to go out to the world. And like a soldier on the battlefront, a person has to know that if I abandon my post, that's a very serious crime. Well, I'm in the Air Force, but I figured I was getting a little bored of Air Force, so I figured I'd try Navy for a couple of weeks. You put Klal Yisrael in danger when you walk away from your avodah, when a person walks away from his position in this world. And God forbid, it's a scary source, but I want to see it inside together. The Nesivas Shalom brings, in source number 7, Parshas Re'eh. The Nesivas Shalom brings, he quotes from the Torah's Avos. Torah's Avos is a collection of Slonim and Lechovich, different tzaddikim, that the author of the Nesivas Shalom, the Slonim Rebbe, wrote when he was a younger man, before he was the Rebbe of Slonim. He says a scary thing. Sheyachol liyos, sheyehudi yagia l'olam elyon. After 120 years of being a great Jew, Torah, Tefillah, I did so much for your Kadosh Baruch Hu. You come to the Olam Emes, Achar Arichas Yom Veshanim, Ve'osak B'Torah Ve'Avodah, and you did so many things. And Hashem takes a look at you. It's a scary idea. It's a scary idea. Look what he says. Ve'yishalu Oso, Masiso Ka'alta B'Olam Hazeh. What on earth were you doing down there? He said, what was I doing? V'onosholom. I'll show you my daily schedule. Look at all these things I accomplished. So Hashem's going to say, remember that summer? Right? Remember that summer when you went somewhere else and you were supposed to come to Camp Pass? Right? Well, why did you went to that other place because your friend was going there? You missed out. There are people, says the Sivas Shalom, says the Torah's Avos, you can get to the Olam Emes and they can say to you, you missed out on your whole life. Your whole life was just copying someone else. And Hashem says, you did all the right things, but I didn't need you to do that. I never asked you to do that. And I know you felt you were doing the right thing, but you were running from yourself the whole time. I never asked you to do such a thing. That wasn't your avodah. You lived a life where you were exiled from yourself. Like Rav Kook describes, where the sense of ani is totally lost. Belz Rebbe said there's three types of galus. We're entering Chodesh Tammuz, and sort of thinking in these terms. There's Galus in place. A Jew is removed from Eretz Yisrael, kicked out. Galus from a Makom. There's galus bein adam lachavero, when a Jew can't get along, God forbid, with another Jew, doesn't see another Jew as a brother, as a best friend. And God forbid, there's the third type of galus, which the Baal Zerebi said is the biggest galus, is the galus bein adam la'atzma, when a person is exiled from himself, v'ani b'soch ha'golam, that the sense of ani, of who I'm supposed to be, is totally lost in the world. It's so obvious. Have you heard the news recently? Has anyone heard the news recently? Is this not a topic in the news? Equality, right? And race and gender and all these things where everyone's struggling with identity. So many things in the world today, in so many different, expressing itself in so many different ways. Some of them very strange. Right? But people are trying to figure out, what am I? Who am I? Where am I? So much of that is going on because that's what the Kodesh Baruch Hu is asking us. Just don't compare yourself to earlier generations. You're there because of the Mashiach. You're a soldier on a very specific mission. Take pride in that mission. Embrace that mission. Don't walk away from that mission. God forbid you'll find out that you live someone else's life. The Torah tells us that men and women are not supposed to switch clothing. The Torah says in source number 8, Lo yekli gever al isha, that a woman shouldn't wear a man's garment, a man shouldn't wear a woman's garment. Says the Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel in source number 9. What does it mean a woman shouldn't wear a man's garment? Lo yiyeh gulyan detzitzes u'tfilin, dahainu tikune gavar al isa. A woman shouldn't wear tzitzes or tefillin. Okay. That's how the Targum Yonasan identifies a man's garment. Tzitzes and tefillin. You know what's funny about this pasuk? Look at the end of the pasuk. What does it say? If you do, if you're wearing the clothing of the opposite gender, then it's a toeva, it's an abomination. It says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. So hold on a second. Tefillin? A person puts on tefillin and it's an abomination? How could we even utter such a thing? How do you call tefillin an abomination? How could wearing tefillin be an abomination? And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says very simple. Because if that's not your avoda and you're doing that, then that's a disgrace. Because you're rejecting Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're saying, Hashem, you didn't make me right. You didn't make me the way I'm supposed to be. I want to be Korach. Says, I want to be Aaron. I want to be Moshe. And Hashem says, just be Korach. Be proud to be. It's an abomination for you to try to be Aaron or Moshe. Be comfortable with who you are. It's so beautiful that this var comes from Chaim Shmulevitz. One of the most unbelievable stories I think I ever heard in my life. It's such a chizik for me. You know, it was a big gathering. A big gadol and big Rashi yeshiva. But you're going to love this mice. They're sitting there by the dais. The Ger Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael, is sitting next to Chaim Shmulevitz. Yeah? Now when you're sitting by the dais, right, and everyone's watching you, so eat a little differently. Eat a little differently. The waiters are coming around, the end of this big gala event, and they're giving out dessert. What's for dessert? Ice cream. They're giving out ice cream. I heard we have frozen yogurt this summer, Baruch Hashem. They're giving out ice cream. When you sit at the dais, you don't eat ice cream for dessert. That's the claw, that's the basic rule. Right? You don't sit there eating ice cream for dessert. It's a question of a person. So, Chaim Shmulevitz gets his ice cream, takes the ice cream, makes a shahakal, and eats the ice cream. Only one at the dais eating the ice cream. It's good. It's taka good ice cream. Turns to the Beis Yisrael, sitting next to the Ger Rebbe, and says, you eating that? You having dessert? Because if you're not, you know, I wouldn't mind the second portion of ice cream. The Beis Yisrael said, I always had the most unbelievable comment from Chaim Shmulevitz. He said, after this Maisa, my kavod for Chaim Shmulevitz was off the charts. That he could have such a healthy sense of self that he feels okay eating ice cream. He's not worried, what are people going to say? Rosh Hashiva had ice cream, Rosh Hashiva had two portions of ice cream. To be so comfortable that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you a certain way, and that's okay, and to embrace that, and to embrace it with a passion. What was Korach rejecting? Korach wasn't fighting against Moshe and Aaron. The tragedy of Korach is that he was fighting against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a mafurish pasuk in the parasha. Lachain, source number 10. Atah v'chol hadascha noa dima l'shem. You and your chevra, Korach, who are joining together, Al Hashem. You're not fighting Moshe. You're not fighting Aaron. You know who you're fighting? You're saying Hashem doesn't know what he's doing. Hashem doesn't know how to run the world. Hashem didn't make me the right way. By saying, I want to be Aaron, I want to be Moshe, I'm not happy being Korach. It's not fair. It's unjust. You're attacking a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, listen, you're a soldier, and I need you to carry out the mission. And it's a hard mission. And now I'm talking, to wrap up, I'm talking to us. I'm talking to us right now. Tavshin Ayin Vav. In a very scary world. In a terrifying world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm giving you a very complicated mission. And I know you're going to feel like a nobody sometimes. I know you're going to feel like, we just read a couple of weeks ago, the beginning of the end of Bechukosai, the Tochah and Bechukosai. The first Klala of the Tochah is Bahalam. Of Baalav, having no Yishuv Adas, being all over the place. That's the state of the world today. We have no idea what's going to happen from one day to the next. Complete Bilbul Adas. And Hashem says sometimes people are going to say, you are a lowly Jew. Even amongst ourselves. We're not going to feel proud. Gemara tells such a sad and tragic story. I'll just share with you outside. It's verse 11. The Gemara says that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, was walking on the road. And he sees this Yid. And he says to him, the Yid says, Shalom Aleichem Rabbi. And Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, it's a painful Gemara to say, it's obviously complicated. He says back to him, is everyone in your town as ugly as you are? Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says that to him. The guy was so insulted, he wouldn't forgive him. Rabbi Elazar realized, maybe he went a little too far, he follows him back to his town. And the people see, oh, Lazar, Shimon's coming, everyone comes out, Rebbe, Rebbe, Mori, Rebbe, Mori. And this ugly man says, who are you calling Rebbe? Who are you calling Mori? It's this the holy Yid who's traveling behind you. This Rebbe. He said, if this is a Rebbe, you know what he said about me? He said, I'm so ugly. He said, if this is what you call a Rebbe, there shouldn't be Rebbes amongst guys. There should be no more Rebbes. And they said, he learns a lot of Torah, you should forgive him nonetheless. In the end, he forgave him. When he first insulted him, he said back to him, why don't you go to the one who made me? Why don't you go to the one who made me and tell him, complain to him that I'm so ugly? But Meir of Premishlan explained this Gemara and said he wasn't commenting on his physical beauty or his grotesque appearance. He said that Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon was a tzaddik. He was looking at this Jew trying to do his avodah. And he sees this Jew and how ugly his avodah looks, how strange it looks. He sees how his mind is all over the place, that when he's davening, you ever see this? Right? Maybe we are this. When he's davening, you see a person who's like, they're just trying to like reel it in a little bit, like shuckling like crazy, just to like, or like doing crazy like arm motions, just to like try to pull it together, so I can have a couple seconds of actually conversing with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And Rabbi Elazar Rishon said, you're standing before the Melech Malchei Melech, what are you doing? What? Just get it together. Your avodah is ugly. And he says, why don't you go tell the one who made me? Why don't you go tell Rabbono Shalom that it's ugly? This is the avodah. This is how Hashem made us. We can only compare ourselves to ourselves. So I want to end by giving us a bracha. It's a very hard door. It's a difficult door. Let's not make the mistake. This close to the finish line. Let's not make the mistake of Korach. Let's realize that the ikvus of the Mashiach of these last seconds before we go to the Yom Shekula Shabbos Mashiach is Erev Shabbos. And on Erev Shabbos, what does a house look like Erev Shabbos? You're running around, a little this, a little that. It doesn't seem like you're going to be able to get it together. But we all somehow manage. Somehow we all make it to Shabbos. Somehow we make it. It's very wild. It's very all over the place. Somehow we seem to pull it together to get there for Shabbos. The Chafetz Chaim said, this is Erev Shabbos. We got to just do what we can. We have to be confident in who we are. We don't have to feel bad comparing ourselves to earlier Doros. We don't have to be frightened by the nations of the world who are going to laugh at us. I have to just tell one more maisa. Reb Lazer Geltzon. If you haven't read this book, Reb Lazer, it's an unbelievable book. Reb Lazer Geltzon, at one time, he had some bachrim, he was a very unique personality, lost his life in a tragic way. Reb Lazer, one time, had some bachrim in yeshiva, you know, who wanted to be cool. This is a Hasidish Yid who was himself a pretty cool guy. Reb Lazer saw they were trying to be cool. So Reb Lazer called him into his office. And he said, it's clear to me you're trying to be cool. You're trying to be cool. But who says cool? Who says cool is glasses and shoes? Who says cool is glasses and shoes? Maybe cool is knowing a chuvas or bikiva eger forwards and backwards. Maybe that's cool. Maybe that's cool. The world might not think it's so cool. In Paris, they might not think it's cool. On ESPN, they might not think it's cool. Right? Maybe knowing a kitsos, he said to them, maybe knowing a kitsos that no one else knows is cool. Maybe that's a cool thing to do. Who says cool is like tight pants? Who says that's cool? Who told you that's cool? Why are you scared to identify? Why are you scared to be yourself? Why are we afraid to be so proudly Jewish even if the whole world is laughing at us? So give us a bracha, the final source. In the Ali Shur, he brings a famous conversation between Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and Rabbi Tali Amsterdam. Rabbi Tali Amsterdam said to his Rebbe, I don't feel like I'm making it. He said, Rebbe, if I had your mind, if I had the mind, I'm sorry, the mind of the Shagas Aryeh, if I had the heart of the Yesod V'Shor Shavod, if I had the midos of Rav Yisrael Salanter, then I could really serve Hashem. And Rav Yisrael Salanter said back to him, Rav Naftali, with your mind, with your heart, with your midos, with your mind, with your heart, with your midos, that's the only way you can serve Hashem. That's the greatest tikkun we can make for Korach. Tzadika Tamar Yifrach, the sprouting of Korach will take place in the end of days when we have the opportunity to be fiercely independent. When it's not cool to be Jewish. When it's not cool to think differently. Right? When it's not cool to eat the ice cream because someone's going to think that's a sign that I'm not from enough. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the strength and the courage to be able to be proudly Jewish. To be normal like a banana, like Rav Shlomo said. And then Amir Hashem will rectify this chayt of Korach v'Adassah. And Amir Hashem will be zochet to come to the Yom Shekulah Shabbos. Amir v'Yameinu.